We as a church, we are continuing to discern regarding our vision and our mission and to be directional as a church. So just to remind us that we as Father's House South Africa believe that we will awaken the world. Did I just mess that up completely? Maybe I should just read it. Maybe I should tell a joke while I pull up my notes. I don't tell jokes anymore. People say my jokes are not funny. I do have a joke though. We know Jesus, amen. And we know about the miracles he did. But the one miracle that nobody actually ever talks about, that a man in his 30s had 12 close friends. So we all know about Jesus. And the funniest thing that nobody ever talks about, we know about the miracles, but the greatest miracle is that a man in his 30s had 12 close friends. Oh, man. Maybe there isn't enough 30-year-olds in this crowd. Okay, that joke didn't work. I'm sorry. So for those of you who don't know, that if you've never been a man or in your 30s, being 30 and having 12 close friends is actually very impossible. So the fact that Jesus was 30 in his 30s and had 12 close friends is a miracle in itself. Amen. Sorry about that. Okay, I'll bring my own encouragement next time. So our vision for Father's House SA is to awaken the world to the gift of salvation by grace. And I said last week that if we don't repeat our vision, it becomes like a New Year's resolution, that it's quick and fleeting, it'll be over by the second week in January. So may we continue to awaken the world to the gift of salvation by grace. And our specific mission here in Father's House Kericha is to host the presence of Jesus and obey him. So may we, as Father's House Kericha, when we awaken the world, may we do it through presence of Jesus, hosting the presence of Jesus and obeying him. So this morning, where is it now? There it is. There's my notes. Nolene, you can put up my title there. I want to talk about oil and fire. You that were brave enough to step out for more fire, it's for you. And I want to remind us, as I speak and as I preach and I speak into our lives, I want you to remember these three aspects of the word this morning. When the word comes for you this morning, it comes for you personally. You, yourself, your life, your identity, you as a person. But the same word is for you as a family, or as you as a community, or you as a friendship group. So when you hear the word, don't always think, oh yes, it's for somebody else. No, it's for you. Or when you hear the word, it's not just for you, it's for your family. But when it's not just for you or your family, it's for this church, it's for this community. So when I speak the word, when I speak the prophetic word, it's not just for you personally, it's for you personally, for your family, but for this church as a community. Now, the prophetic word is, there's oil and fire. Now, if you've been here for some extended time, you've heard me speak that your life needs to have fruit. Now, the fruit is good in season. For those of you that shop at at this grocery stores, you'll see there's some seasonal fruit right now. There's some fruit you get now that you don't get in the winter. But fruit is seasonal and it's short. But if you take that fruit and you crush it, and if you put it through a system or process, it gives you wine or oil. So, yes, for you to get the fruit, you need to be pruned. So the pruning, thank you, Amen. The pruning leads to fruit, much fruit, the Bible says. That fruit is for the moment in season, but when it goes through the crushing of life, the crushing of disappointment, the crushing of Jesus' presence in your life, the crushing of pursuing worship and going through worship, that crushing, what does it produce? It produces oil. And we said before, oil is for healing and wine is for disinfecting. So you need to ask yourself, does my life carry enough fruit? And if my life doesn't carry enough fruit, must I spend more time with the vine dresser so that he prunes me, so that my life can bear more fruit, so that I can, when I go through the crushing, that it's not dry on the other side. Like I've said before, some of us are experiencing some form of dryness in our life because we've not gone through the system. If you are here today and you feel dry, dry in yourself, dry in your prayer life, dry in your finances, dry in your relationship with Jesus, if you are now and you say, I'm dry, I can take you all the way back to you spending time with Jesus, the Father, the vine dresser, him pruning you, because pruning produces much fruit. Much fruit is for the season. But how does fruit stay long, give it longevity? You harvest it and you crush it and you ferment it or you store it, and then it comes out the other side as healing or disinfecting as wine and oil for healing. But today, it's about oil and fire. In yourself, you have oil and fire. In your family, you have people of oil and you have people of fire. And in our church, we have people of oil and we have people of fire. And there it is. Nolini's done some magic. I sent her a quote that she quickly put in there for me. Remember, for yourself, your family, or the church, the only thing standing between you and your calling or your anointing is your unformed character. Character. The only thing standing between you and your calling or your ministry or your breakthrough or your aliveness, the only thing, it's not the enemy, it's not your opportunities, it's not the house or the people or the situation or the country you were born into. The only thing standing between you and your calling is your unformed character. So we're talking about oil and fire. Let me make a little illustration here. I hope it goes well. I practiced it at home quickly, but I'm not sure if it's going to work. But let's see. I'm sure all of us have this at home, eh? Go out. Sorry for the smell. How long did that burn for? A couple of seconds, eh? It was quite impressive, eh? Fire. Is it still burning? Why not? There's no oil. If I had taken that same piece of paper and I dipped it in oil, those of you that forget your fire lighters when you want to make a braai, I'm like, I've got the wood, I've got my place, but hey, forgot the fire lighters. Who's ever here started a fire and just couldn't get the fire alight because the wood is so wet and you don't have fire lighters, you don't have one of those fancy little gas thingies? Next time, take some paper, dip it in oil, set it alight, and you might have better success next time. Fire needs oil. The fire in your life, talking to you personally this morning, the fire in your life might have gone out because you don't have the character, you don't have the oil to sustain it. You might have oil. You might be oil if you're talking about personally, you have oil and fire in your life. So in your life, the fire might have gone out because you don't have enough oil. You don't have enough character. Oil sustains. But you might be oil. You might have character. You might spend a lot of time with the Lord. You might be very systematic. Your life is in order. But there's no light. Fire gives light. And you see the picture coming together, how fire needs oil, but oil needs light. So when you look at yourself, do you have the character to maintain the fire of Jesus? When you look at your family, is there somebody in your family that's oil, that's sustaining this process? And there's some people in your family that's fire, and the one works with the other? And when we're thinking of church, now it's easy with family, we work interchangeably. But when we're in church, family doesn't look the same. Some are taller. Some are shorter. Some sing very well. Some sing less well. Some do things in a certain way. Some of us don't do it in that way. Some of us are very reserved. Some of us are very loud. Now, we need each other. If you only have fire in a church, how long is it going to last? Moments, seconds. Those of us that have experienced some fire movements, some of us are here because the fire movements are scaring us a little bit. If you only have fire, you might just burn down the place. But if you only have oil, is there ever light? Oil and fire need each other. And you need to sit here and you need to realize, am I fire or am I oil? Because if you're oil, amen. Because a church without oil, the light will go out in a moment. But a church only with fire will not last very long. So if you're thinking about your personal life, your fire might be going out because your character, your oil doesn't match the fire that you're trying to sustain. If you're thinking of your family, the fire in your family might not be sustained because you don't have the character in your family to sustain the fire that you want. If you look at your church, our community, maybe we have more fire than we have oil, or maybe we have more oil and we have fire. And you need to decide. Personally, you are fire and oil. But in a community, you are either oil or you are fire. And if you are fire and you are sitting in these seats and you are not burning for Jesus, where's your oil? Who are you connected to that's helping you burn for Jesus? Or if you're oil and you're sitting in these seats, but you're not helping sustain the process of church and the lighting of the fire in this building, what are you doing? And you need to discern, do I have the character to maintain and sustain, or do I have the personality or the burningness to give light? Because it's just pure biology. Some of us find it easy to be expressive, extroverts, and some of us find it more comforting just to be introverts and not so expressive. And that's so healthy. But we need to be aware that in this church, we need people of fire. Because without fire, there's no light. Without fire, there's no name of Jesus being shouted in the streets. But if we don't have the oil, we will never sustain and maintain this church. Those of us that are fire, don't sacrifice your flame on the altar of people's opinions. If you think about yourself, the fire that might have gone out in yourself, are you too self-critical? Or maybe you're not self-aware, but because if the fire, the only reason, and I want to go back to my first quote, is the only thing standing between you and your breakthrough and standing between you and your calling is your unformed character. If your fire is going out too quickly in your personal life, you need to form your character. Your character is what will sustain the fire in your life. But if you're fire, don't sacrifice your flame on the altar of the opinions of others. If you are oil, don't be that opinion that quenches the fire in somebody. Don't criticize. Find your oil and find your fire. If you feel, I want to burn for Jesus, I'm alive, I want to shout his name, find your fire. Mostly some people are married in that way. Those of us are married. Some of us are fire and we married oil. In my marriage, it feels like I've married fire. Because there's some fire in my marriage. And I'm like, Jesus, help us. We're going to burn this house down. But I'm fire and my wife's oil. Because her character is so much better than mine. She's got such a great character. But sometimes that character lights up and I'm afraid. Oh, man. There should have been a passage in the Bible of that. Fear your wife. I should let her preach here one day. Don't criticize. The first thing that will quench fire or that will make oil ineffective is criticism. Criticism will render the whole process ineffective. If fire says, we don't need you, oil, how long is fire going to last? Momentarily. If oil says, ooh, you guys are burning up too much, what's going to happen? There will never be light. We need in this church, if we're talking about the community, we need fire and we need oil. There needs to be a sustaining and there needs to be light. there isn't the reward of community. Community is a reward. Jesus rewards us. And one of the ways that Jesus rewards us is through community, as a family, people coming together and forming some form of unit that has an ability to be something that you cannot be by yourself. And one of the number one things that community sorts out is loneliness. Now, side note on that, the place where you can feel the most alone is amongst others. So if you're in community but you're feeling alone, you either have to check yourself, how am I excluding myself from community? Or community needs to say, how healthy are we? But one of the rewards that Jesus gives us for living on earth, living under the banner of Jesus, is community, each other. There isn't the reward of community without the cost of community. And there's always a cost. If you're in community and you feel alone, you haven't paid the price of vulnerability. You haven't paid the price of friendship. You haven't paid the price of taking the first step. Sometimes community cannot sustain every single individual to feel belonged or feel welcome. Sometimes it's you as an individual's responsibility to open up to somebody, to take the first step and say, hi, my name is. The cost of crossing the divide and saying, I want to be part of a community, but it's going to cost me something. It's going to cost me time. It's going to cost me vulnerability. It's going to cost me courage. There is always a cost. There isn't the reward of community without the cost of community. And there's always a cost. And it's interesting, I just got back from a community weekend, meaning those of you that know me, is I used to be in missions. So for the side note, I've been in missions or I've been in ministry for the last 20 years of my life. And some of those years, I think 15 odd of those years in ministry, I've actually spent in Jeffreys Bay being part of a community. And we've just come back. They went away as a community, as a retreat, and myself and Barbara and the kids just joined them out of friendships, mutual friendships. And again, I saw something that I used to be a part of, and still through association and friendship, I'm still part of a community. But there's a cost. Initially, when you start a community, and that's where I was part of that, I was part of starting the community that is existing in Jeffreys Bay at the moment. It takes personal time. You as a, not just personal time, you as a person need to sow in to the community. You need to be part of it. You need to serve. You need to give your life. You need to do stuff, and you pay the price of being part of a community. But then somehow the community starts growing. People come, they visit, they move, and the community grows. Now, if you were there in the start and you sowed your life and you sowed your finances and you sowed your time, and when community takes off, unfortunately, I realized this weekend again, the cost doesn't stop. Initially, you had to commit your life to a vision for the community to come together and for it to exist. 4, 5, 6 years later, the community now exists and there's people there. And there's like when I was there now the weekend, there's 200 people and 150 of them I don't even recognize. But they're part of this community that I helped start. And again, I sit with my friends, those of us that's been part of this community for many years. And I sit around the table and I hear them speak. And they say, yo, guys, we have a responsibility towards the new people becoming part of this community. Still a cost. So initially, when you step into a community, it costs you. Then the community exists, and it still then costs you to sustain the community. There's a cost. There's always a cost of time, a cost of resources, a cost of availability, a cost of finances, a cost. And it will cost you when you enter into a community, and it will cost you while you're part of the community. And even after the community is established, it will still cost you to look after the community. There isn't the reward of community without the cost of community. And there's always a cost. And simply said, if you want the privileges of community, or the perks of community, you have to pay the cost. And there's always a cost. There's a cost joining a community, there's a cost staying part of a community, and there's a cost sustaining the community. And that cost this morning is oil and fire. Are you the fire in the community, keeping it alive, giving their light, getting some excitement? Be more excited, be more loud, do more things. Or are you oil? Are you sustaining this community through character? Are you paying the price of longevity? Or are you paying the price of stability? Are you paying the price of being, you know, I'm holding this thing together? We both need each other because there's always a cost to community. Amen. Are you guys okay there? Vicky, heavy? Not too much? Should we have a scripture? It's always my challenge. Jesus. Yes, my wife is like Jesus in my life. My wife always tells me, Anthony, you have to have a scripture. Okay, so I submit to my wife. If you have your Bible with you, please turn to Matthew 25, 1-6, and I will have to move through that quickly. Oof, it's tiny. So it's Matthew 25. So it's just after Matthew 24. And I don't know if you know about Matthew 24, but if you like the second coming of Jesus, go and read Matthew 24. Then I think Matthew 25 is a lot to do more, it's got a lot more to do with character. And that's, I'm talking about your calling and your breakthrough and your anointing. The only thing standing between you and your breakthrough is your character. So Matthew 25 is a lot more about your character. About the story that I'm going to read now. It's about your readiness. If you go to the parable just after this one, it talks about a good steward. Are you a good steward? And I've preached on that, like when Jesus gives you something to steward, he actually expects you to multiply it. Matthew 24 is about Jesus coming. Matthew 25 is about your character. So, Matthew 25, verse 1. When my coming draws near. This is Jesus. It's in red. If you look in your Bible, it's in red. When my coming draws near. Now, Father Zaskaricha, I grew up in a kingdom then theology. Jesus will come one day, which is true. He will come one day. But in the meantime, I've changed my heart and my theology, believing that Jesus can be present now. Jesus can move now. Jesus can be present here today. So when my coming draws near, isn't just talking about the second coming. It also talks about a community coming together with oil and fire and saying, Jesus, we want to fill this building with people that need Jesus so that when you walk past our doors, you say, there are people inside this building that need Jesus. Or we want to invite Jesus' manifest presence. We want to respect him to such a degree that when Jesus is present in the building, people that need Jesus stream through those doors and says, may we just hear the message of the kingdom. So when my coming draws near, it's a then, it's also a now. Father South Karicha, the only thing keeping us from experiencing the manifest presence of Jesus Christ in our building is our character. Our character as a church, collectively, and that's how how we need each other. Because if all of us as fires come together and we fire, 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 Jesus might come in a moment and there might be some form of goosebumps and liver shivers. But if there's no oil, you will not sustain. There will not be a character to sustain the presence of Jesus in the building. And that's why if you're fire, find your oil. If you're oil, find your fire. Because Jesus, his manifest presence, is only kept from our character. Because if we do not have the character to sustain the presence of Jesus in the building, it will come and it will go. It will be fleeting. It will be quick. But if we have the character as a church, if we have oil and fire, we will hold and manage and sustain the manifest presence of Jesus here in Father's House Karicha, 81 John Street. Amen? Amen? Come on. Hey? Let's get a little applause for that one. That was a good word, eh? Let's applaud that one. There we go. There we go. If we have the character, we will sustain the presence of Jesus in this building. Amen? Whew, tough crowd. Maybe, am I too serious? Oh man, that was just the first sentence. When my coming draws near, heaven's kingdom realm can be compared to 10 maidens who took their oil lamps and went outside to meet the bridegroom and his bride. I'm still a little bit confused with this one. My wife's a qualified theologian, and the only way that she could help me with understanding the scripture is it's about timing. And I'm not going to make any future second coming predictions out of this one, but my wife told me it's about timing. And I'll take that timing and I say it's about character. It's about preparation. Because if you want to read eschatologically into the characters here, it gets confusing because it's a story, it's a parable taken in context of their culture that is supposed to bring a feeling and understanding. So you can't say, well, we are the 10 maidens, or we are the bride, or Jesus is the... You could say that, but that's, my wife says that's reading too much into it. Because Jesus is talking. If you go read chapter 24, he's hoying. He has lots he said. And then he says 25, and he keeps talking. So Jesus isn't trying to make a theology on this one parable. He's just trying to let people hear it, recognize the cultural situation, and understand it's about preparation. And if I've said ya before, if we do not prepare, Jesus will come. And we might just, I don't think we'll miss Jesus. Like when Jesus comes, you can't miss him. Jesus is so awesome. When Jesus comes, you can't miss him. But you might be empty, or you might have run out of oil. I'm not saying we are the 10 maidens. The character of the process, the gathering, might not have the sustainability to welcome the bridegroom, the bride and the groom. So don't read in that you're one of the maidens and you need more Jesus or more oil. That's part of it. It's more of, is our congregation, is our gathering prepared for when Jesus arrives? Five of them were foolish and ill-prepared, for they took no extra oil for their lamps. Five of them were wise. Notice how there's nothing between foolish and wise. For they took flasks of olive oil with their lamps. When the bridegroom didn't come when they expected, they all grew drowsy and fell asleep. Then suddenly, in the middle of the night, they were awakened by the shout, "Get up! The bridegroom is here. Come out and have an encounter with him." Is our church ready to have an encounter with Jesus? Do we have five foolish and five wise? Do we have enough oil? Do we have enough character? Do we have enough timing to pursue the presence of Jesus? Or did we think, yeah, you know, Jesus is free. Jesus is free. So we don't have to be prepared too much. We don't have to have extra oil. We'll just take what's in our lamps. And if Jesus doesn't like what's in my lamp, then he took too long. But there were five wise maidens that took extra oil. And when the bridegroom came, when the bridegroom came suddenly, they were not out somewhere buying oil. They were not out. They were ready. They were ready to welcome. They were ready to present the atmosphere. In the middle of the night. So it was dark, no street lights. So those maidens, they were responsible to maintain an atmosphere. Who of you have been quite romantic with some candles outside? They only really work when it's night, eh? How ready is our church to welcome the bridegroom? Are we foolish and says, no, it doesn't take oil? Or have we prepared extra oil? Extra oil. I'm like, I'm not going to take any chances with this one. I'm not going to let the bridegroom come in, then I'm unprepared for him to have an encounter with him. Then suddenly in the middle of the night, they were awakened by the shout, "Get up. Bridegroom is here. Come out and have an encounter with him." Father's house, Kericha. To host the presence of Jesus, we need oil and some extra. And we need fire. For you as a person to host the presence of Jesus, you need fire. And you need character. And you better have some extra character because this world is wild. Somebody told me, yo, pastor, it's difficult out there. It's difficult. Do you know what brings light to a difficult situation? Oil. Sustained oil will bring sustained light to a difficult situation. If you are continually facing an impossible situation, work on your character. But as a church, I'm saying that we need oil and we need light and we need some extra oil to sustain this church because suddenly the bridegroom will come and we will have an encounter with him and we will be ready and we'll be able to go in with him. And you can go read the rest. It's quite sad what happens to the other five, but he will know us. Why will Jesus know us? Because we have the character of oil that sustains a community, but we also have light. Imagine those five wise maidens having lots of oil, but no light. It will be dark. And they'll have oil, but no light. So make sure when you're pursuing the presence of Jesus, when you're waiting for Jesus to show up, make sure there's fire and oil. Father Saskriha, please stand with me. When approaching Jesus, it's always good to start with a confession. And not a confession like, oh, that like I'm just nothing. But because before Jesus, we are nothing. But Jesus is calling us to be sons and daughters. So there's some form of responsibility. There's some form of intimacy that draws us up out of the dirt in front of the face of the Father and says, I'm worthy. I have a space. I'm welcomed. So this morning, we can start with a confession and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I might have run out of oil. I've been unwise. Or Jesus, I'm sorry. I've criticized the fire because they were a bit loud. You that are fire, you need to repent that you do not have the character to sustain your fire. In our community, there are people of fire that need to apologize to those of oil, thinking that you don't need oil, yet that's the only thing that keeps you burning. You that are oil need to apologize to those that are fire, because that's all they have. If you are fire, you are not oil. You don't have anything else but fire. Personally, you have to work on your own character to sustain your fire. But find somebody that's fire. Find somebody that's oil. Don't criticize and sustain each other. But as a church, I want us to be prepared with oil and extra oil. And what gets us the extra oil? The crushing. But let's stay on fire for Jesus so that when the bridegroom comes suddenly, we are ready, we are wise. We have fire and oil. We've created an atmosphere in which the bridegroom will come and he will know us. Father Saskriha, we can be known by Jesus. You can be known by Jesus. If you have fire, make sure you have the character to keep the atmosphere where Jesus is respected for him to come suddenly. But we as a church, we need to work on our oil, our character. But if we do not have fire, it's going to be very dark. with a lot of character. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that there's oil and fire. Jesus, thank you that there's character needed to prepare for the coming of Jesus now or for the second coming. But Jesus, as kingdom now believers, we believe that we can sustain your presence in this building through oil and fire. And Jesus, I want to welcome you to teach us through the Holy Spirit. Put us through the crushing so that we can have the oil that's needed to sustain the light, the atmosphere in your, where in your presence we will encounter you. And in that place, you will know us. If you feel this morning that you've, let's put it this way, let yourself down by not having enough character, and you've let your fire go out. Or if you feel here, you've got character, but you need more fire. Or just as simply as, I want to encounter Jesus. I want to see Jesus. I want to experience Jesus. If that's you this morning, just quickly lift your hand. Just quickly. I want to encounter Jesus. I need more character. I need more fire. If that's you, just quickly lift your hand. Just acknowledge that. Thank you. Thank you. Let's receive. Jesus, I pray for every single one that's been brave enough to step out and say, I need more fire. I need more character. I need more oil. I need more light. And then Jesus, in this moment, may you speak in heart and in soul. And Jesus, may you show through pictures and healing and some form of revelation, what is the next step? Because if there's no step after this, it might as well just be fire again. But Jesus, reveal to every single one this morning what is needed just to sustain this revelation this morning. Jesus, we want to thank you and we want to honor you and we want to bless every single person here stepping out in faith for Jesus, to have an encounter with Jesus. And I pray as you settle this matter in our hearts, may we have the courage to fill our lives with more character, to fill our lives with more fire, and to find the fire and to find the oil. Jesus, we submit this process to you and we give you all the honor and we give you all the glory and pray, Jesus, come quickly. May we not have to wait. May we not fall asleep waiting for your coming. But Jesus, may we respect you in this space, that you will honor us with your manifest presence in the building. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.